So there's a couple parts. We're just going to go over just general, just some things from Scripture, and talk about serving God in general, just some general principles. Then we'll hit on some more practical things and some highlights just for the different areas, some things. Shelley will cover that. And then the next part of the meeting, we'll be covering some logistics for the Gary and Connie Crowell meetings. And so that's the agenda. So to start out, just first of all, I just want to thank you guys so much for helping and doing what you do, each one of you doing your part. And just thank you on the behalf of the Lord Jesus, you know, for what you're doing in his kingdom. And we believe this church is of God, that we were called to start this church. And there's no way, you know, this can go forward and be what it's supposed to be without people taking their place, and you guys have done that, so thank you. And when you look around, you're really seeing the core. There's a few people that couldn't be here because of a conflict and that are very involved, but what you're really, you guys are the core of the church, and God's going to use you, us, together to do what he wants to do in this kind of next, I don't know if I call it phase, but we're definitely launching into something new. You know, we're going up into the new building. We're going to have a lot more space, and just things are going to be expanding. And so God uses people, and he grows people, and he just brings us up one step at a time. So you guys are just, we're just so blessed to have such awesome folks like you guys, and that give of your time and that have a heart for the Lord and have a heart for the things of God. And you're going to see, just look around, this is the core that God's going to use to go to the next level. And as more people come in, yes, they will, they'll get inserted in different places, but, you know, this is the group that's going to be the start of that next part. So, it's going to be good. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as of," you don't have to turn to any of these, you know, this is a little bit different. "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Whatever you do, do it as unto Jesus. And I know, you know, that's what you guys are doing. That's the heart of this church. You're not serving men. You're always going to be under and work with men and women. I'm saying that in the generic term. But just know that you're doing it as unto the Lord. Don't get your eyes on a man. Do what you do because you know that's what God would have you to do. And do it as unto him. Don't show up doing it because somebody sees you should do this on your job as well, or doesn't see you. Do it because you're serving him. And you know, if we keep that in mind, we'll do the right thing. But as you guys are, you're serving the Lord as you're helping this church. It's not about Shelley and myself. It's not about the church per se. It's about his kingdom. And so you just are slotting into that greater kingdom of God throughout the earth, and this happens to be where we are. And so it's just very important. Proverbs 26:20, verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man?" In the New Living Translation, it says, "Many will say that they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable?" I'm going to read that again. "Many will say that they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable?" Faithfulness, you know, in the New King James, it says, "Who can find a faithful man?" God works with faithfulness. And you're going to hear this, and you already have that have been in volunteer meetings again. This will be the core of what I talk about every time. We'll touch on different subjects, but faithfulness in the kingdom of God is key. God does not work, his system does not work the same way that the world system works. The world system rewards talent. They will reward you basically giving up your own health or your own well-being for a goal, and they will reward you for it. They will basically contribute to your downfall. Now, you have a choice, but they will make it easy for you to do this. You can easily give up your health and your family and everything for a job, run yourself into the ground, and nobody will stop you in a lot of places on the earth. But God won't do that. He cares too much about you. So he will not put you in a position that you can't handle. Did you hear me? He won't allow you to be tempted past what you can bear. He cares so too much about you and your family and your well-being. He cares more about that than what you can give, your talent. He doesn't need your ability. He needs you to use your ability, but I should say he's not impressed with your ability. Okay, God is not impressed with anybody's voice. He's not. He's not impressed with your organizational ability. He created the universe. He knows a little bit more about that. He's not impressed with your leadership ability. He runs everything. He's not impressed with your charisma or your people skills. He knows every person that has ever lived. He knows billions, and he can deal with all of them at their level. He deals with kings. He deals with people, you know, that are down on their luck. He can deal with everybody. He is not, the Bible says, he is not impressed with the legs of a man. What does that mean? He's not impressed with your stature or what you can do or what men are impressed with. He's not impressed with that. You know, the Bible says his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking people that whose heart is after him, who will believe him. He's after faith. That's the way God operates. And you look at and you see this proven over and over again in the Word. He uses people, not because of their external, but because of their heart. And because they are faithful, and because they're available, and they are willing and obedient. Look at David. Saul was the man that people were impressed with. He was head and shoulders above the other men. But his heart was not right. David took over the throne. You look at Gideon. You look at Joseph. You look at Daniel. These people were not people that looked like something on the outside necessarily. It's not that they didn't have ability, but that's not what God chooses based on. It's not to say everybody that serves God just doesn't have anything going for him. That's not true. It's the fact that they choose to use everything they do have for him. They submit to him and say, everything that I have, it's yours. Paul was a very educated man. Paul was trained by Gamaliel. He was trained by one of the leading teachers. He was not just somebody that came off the street, but he said, when he bowed his knees to Jesus, he said, everything I have, I count it as dung for you. I count it as trash for the knowledge of knowing Jesus. And he was used mightily. He had abilities, but he submitted them to God. This is the way the kingdom of God works. It works on faithfulness. In other words, you do what he tells you to do, when he tells you to do it, for as long as he tells you to do it, in the place he tells you to do it, and you do it with a cheerful attitude, and you qualify yourself to be used for greater things. This is the way the kingdom of God works. James 1:22, and I'm going to get back to that one. I want to read Matthew 25:20. It says, the servant, I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation, it's a familiar story, it's about the parable of account of the talents. And after, you know the story, the master gives to his servants one 5 talents, one 2, and one money, and then tells them to go use it. And so when the master comes back to see how they did, we pick up in verse 20, the servant to whom he had entrusted 5 bags of silver, 5 talents, came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest. I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so I will now give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Notice that. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. Notice that. My good and what? Faithful. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Notice he said the exact same thing to 2 people, even though one was managing more money than the other. God is not concerned with that. He will give you what you can handle, what you're able, what you're dealt with. He's going to give you something, and he's going to see what do you do with it. And notice his response to each one was the same when they did the right thing. Well done. Let's celebrate. Good job. In other words, the one was not given. The one that was given two was not given five. So he wasn't expected to come back with five, but he did get come back with two. But now he's qualified for more. Did you notice that? He said, my good and faithful servant, you have been what? Faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. You know what people are looking for so many times in the world, even in many, many times in Christian circles? They're looking to be seen. They're looking for a position. They come in and say, well, I can do such and such here. Can you use me wherever? Instead of, God, what would you have me to do? I don't care what it is. You want me to be in the parking lot? I'm fine with that. You want me to clean the toilets? I'm fine with that. I just want to serve you. You tell me where to go. And what? See, some people, though, they say, well, God, you tell me what to do, but I'm not going to listen to the people in the church. I'm here to tell you, God uses people. Okay? God, it's like this, and we've talked about this before. I'm not going to get into it. But your head doesn't use Wi-Fi to communicate to your big toe. Does it?
No.
No. It goes through something, right? It goes through your neck, through your chest, through your legs, down to your toe. Your fingers don't communicate directly to your head. They communicate through the arm. So people, you are going to hear things that you need to do through people. And if you're in a local church, guess what? It's going to come down through the pastor and through people, and then you're going to be asked to do certain things. And we need to know that, and know that when we're serving in a position in a local church, we are serving the Lord. But God doesn't use just send people out on these little islands. People say, well, I don't need a church. They're wrong. The Bible clearly teaches we need to be. He set it up like this. Well, I'll just receive directly from the Lord. You can receive certain things from the Lord, but he also set it up, certain things for your spiritual well-being are going to come through a pastor. You're not going to be what you ought to be. And that's not saying anything about me particularly. That is the way the kingdom of the Lord is set up. And before I was ever a pastor, I was under pastors. And I was receiving from them, and I esteemed that. It's the office. It's not the man. Although the man is important. But God is going to use people in how we're developed. And he is not going to just... it's not like the world in that you just come in, well, I want this. I'm going to apply for this. God promotes you step by step. And again, going back to what we said, he is not going to put you into a position that you can't handle. People think so many times they can handle more than what they can handle. Handling something is doing it day in, day out with all the pressures, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. It's not a one-off. Most people can do something, I mean, given the skill level, handle something maybe one time if they have the ability, if they have the skill level to do it. Doing it week in and week out is a totally different thing. And God is just not going to put you up there. Why would he put you in a position that the pressure is going to become so great that's going to drive you to do something that is going to ruin your reputation, ruin your health? He won't do it. See, you know what? He's very, very patient. He will tell you something to do, and he'll wait your whole life to get it done. In other words, he doesn't get to a certain point and go, well, I gave him 30 years. I guess they're not going to do it. Here, I'll bump them up anyway. Yeah. He's not going to do it. You don't have seniority in the kingdom of God without doing anything. It doesn't happen. You look at people that you see maybe that are doing some certain things, and people say, well, that looks so easy. You're wrong. They didn't get there overnight, and you don't know what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And what they, I mean, certain people can make their own, they can do stuff and get seen by men. But if you're going to follow the Lord, then it's going to be just step by step that you're going to do. He's going to promote you. You're going to be faithful here. He's going to promote you. You're going to be faithful here. He's going to promote you. You're going to be faithful here. You're going to prove yourself. He's going to test you before you get promoted. In other words, you're going to qualify for the next thing you're going to do. You're going to get qualified. You're going to do it. You're going to be ready. You may think this is getting hard. I don't know. I want to bolt, or I don't like what I'm doing. That's all part of it. Well, I don't like who I'm working with. I don't particularly like the way things are being run. Well, I'm not saying everything's run perfectly, but part of that's working something out in each of us. As we do what God has told us to do, He's interested in the complete package. Be assured, if you do what He's called you to do, you will grow. And growing is not always fun. I like to say it this way. If you already knew what it took to operate at the next level, your thinking would already be thinking that way, right? So you wouldn't need to change any of it. By definition, you would already know what now you don't know. As you go through that process of knowing that next level, guess what? You're going to have to change, and change is not easy. You're going to be hit with things that you just don't understand. Well, why isn't this working? Because you don't see it. You don't see what you need to change so that you can walk at the next level. And that process of changing your mind, God's interested in that. And that's why you need to be part of a local body like you guys are, so that you can go through the process and rub your shoulders with actual people, not just people online that you can disconnect anytime you want, but people that know your name, people that see you when you're having a good day, when you're not having a good day. You know, people love to get on message boards and stuff and type away. There's no accountability there. You can get off at any time. People don't know who you really are. Plus, you're not on there all the time. I mean, they don't see you. They don't know if you're really what you're really like. But you know what? People get to know you in a church body. They can tell you. You think nobody can tell when you're in a bad mood? People can tell that. You know, we maybe try to put on good faces, but this is all part of God's plan. We're a family. And just like you know at home, you're going to grow. If you make a mistake, your family knows it. What do you got to do? Admit it. You messed up, get up, go on. And it's the same thing here. Nobody expects you to be perfect here. It's not coming from Shelly and I. We don't. We know we're not perfect. Nobody in the body of Christ is perfect. We know what it's like to not want to go to church. We know what it's like to have thoughts about the pastors. You're not. That's not going to be a surprise to us. Well, what do you do? You know, what? Why are they doing that? We've had those thoughts about our pastors. That's nothing new. We've been there. You got to deal with it. It's how you deal with it. No, we're not perfect. We're not the first perfect pastors. No, we're not. We understand that. We're doing the best we know how to do. And we're growing, just like you're growing. And as we just yield to Him, we're going to see ourselves change. But it's so tempting. That's why people... They leave churches. They, you know, number one, they won't get in their place. And if they do get in their place for a little while, they get challenged and they decide it's too hard. So they go and try to find another church that's not going to do that. Well, let me tell you something. If you are going to grow with God, you're going to be challenged, and you ought to be challenged in church. You ought to be growing. If you go to a place where you can just sit there week after week and not be challenged to grow, the Word is not showing up things you need to change, you're involved, you're not involved, so you can just sit on the back row and be entertained the whole time, don't get involved, aren't challenged to grow personally, then you're not in the right place. That's not what it's supposed to be like. Because every one of you has a call of God on your life. Okay? That may sound foreign to some of you, but I'm not talking about a fivefold ministry. I'm not saying all you are apostles or prophets or evangelists or teachers, pastors. I'm not saying that. But you all have a call to do something. Business owners, engineers, teachers, whatever it is. Raising children at home. You just need to know what that is. And so as we take, and part of that call is going to do to be what you get involved with in your local body, in your local church. And as you do it, you're going to see you grow, and it's going to affect every other area of your life. You're going to see how it affects you on your job. You'll see how it affects you in your relationships at home. And as you are faithful to do what you're called to do week after week, even when it's not easy, you're going to qualify yourself for more. That's how God operates. And that's how this church operates. Faithfulness is key. James 1:22, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." I want to read you that in the New Living Translation. So listen to it. Sometimes we've heard certain translations so much that we zone out. Verse 22 says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says." Is that obvious? But that's not so obvious if you've been around Christian circles. "Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like." And then I want to read the last part of that verse. Where did that go? I didn't print it on here. "But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." I'm going to read that again just so we get the whole gist of everything. "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." Now, go back to what we said in the beginning. It said in Proverbs 20 that most men will proclaim his own goodness, or many will say they are loyal friends. But who can find a faithful man? Or who can find one that is truly reliable? What are we talking about? Faithfulness? Everybody. Almost. We'll say, "Oh yeah, I'm there. You can count on me. I'll do it. I'll do all kinds of things." You hear all kinds of things. People will say, "I'm there. I'm with you." But the Bible clearly says, everybody will do this. But who can find one that's truly reliable and faithful? It doesn't matter what we hear. We all can hear the word. It's what we do. It's what are we going to do with it? Are we going to do? Well, my heart's right. Okay. Well, if your heart is truly right, then you will be open to God and you will be open to changing and you will change because God will grow you up. Okay? When people say, "Well, my heart's right, your intent's right," but I know if you say your heart's right year after year, but you don't actually do things, then something's wrong. If your heart's right, you will be growing over time. Didn't say you'd be perfect. Yes, you can have a heart that's right and you stumble, but you get back up and you say, "That was wrong, but I'm going to change it." And you get going and you keep going like this. Somebody that says, "My heart's right, I just can't seem to do it. I just can't seem to do it." Year after year, guess what? They're somewhere in there, they're not really yielding to him. Cuz it's not comfortable to change. And when you bump up against it, what you're saying is, "I'm not going to change. I want to." So this is what some people mean by "my heart's right." "I want to, but I'm not willing to go through what it takes to change." Therefore, it's like people want credit for being willing to change without actually doing it. Are we talking about you just doing something yourself? No, we're totally talking about you going before God and say, "God, I know what you want me to do. This is hard. Help me. And I'm going to lean on your grace. You told me to do this. And so I'm going to do it. And I'm going to make whatever adjustments I have to make to change. I will get better, and I know it's not going to be easy, but I'm coming through." And you stay there, and you grow. And if you, what you'll see, though, is if you'll stay consistent and stay faithful, you will come through a period. I've seen this over and over, guys, so just just know that what will happen in any area that you're being faithful in, there will come a point, this isn't a bad confession, I've just seen it over and over, where you start feeling like either you're in the wrong place, or you're doing the wrong thing, or you missed God, or you just don't feel like doing it, or somebody's frustrating with you, and you're frustrated with somebody, what you have to do is push past that point and make up your mind that I did hear God, that this is what I am supposed to do, and I'm going to stay the course because we knew this pain would come, this discomfort would come, but I'm pushing past it, and I will push past it, and when I get to the other side, you'll see you were right, that was just part of the growth process, but now you're at this level. And now you came through. And now you're going to a different thing. And now you're going to say, oh, I got through that. Now I'm going and I got promoted. I see how I'm going to be in this position. And you'll go and mark my words, you will hit a point. It's like steps. You're going to hit a point where you're not on that level and you can bump straight into the step and go, what's going on? I thought I was in the right thing. You're going to have to come up. But then you're going to go and you're going to hit the same thing. But what you will see is that if you're willing to stay the course, if you're willing to be faithful, if you're willing to just put the thoughts down and say, God, this is what you told me to do, you will come up and you'll get comfortable. It's never going to be easy with the fact that you're going to have to come up. And that's just part of it. And God will use you like this. And you're just like we saw, that your responsibilities will grow and they'll grow. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, some practical things along that line. Do you want to do this or do you want me to do this? Are you handing the top part out or just the bottom? Okay, well then let's hand that out so we can go over. No, I'd rather them look at it. It's easier that way. Everybody, so they have the practical line right at the top? Right? Okay. So the first thing, so these are just some things. What does this look like? These are some just hints here, but one thing I wanted to say, I guess that's not on the first thing, is, you know, sometimes we tell people, just be in church for a while when people first come in. Just be in church. Be consistent. Your first thing, come to church consistently, on time, and do that. And just get a sense of the church and where we're going and what's the vision and how we operate. Before you do anything, make sure you want to be here. And then once you're in a position, then you're going to grow from there. But it isn't just automatic, just because you have some experience in the background that we're going to slot you in somewhere. The first thing, sometimes the best place to help is where help is needed the most. We'll ask you to be in a place, and sometimes that's where we need it, and we believe that you're well suited to do that. Now, it may not be the place that you're jumping up and down to do. That's okay. And we'll have that conversation with you. But don't dismiss it. Just because it's not the thing that you think you're ultimately going to do. Or you think, well, my abilities aren't suited to it. Okay, well, so? Nobody said you're ending up there. That's not the end. That's just a facet. Maybe there's certain things that are going to add to you. But just be open. I've talked about this before. I don't want to go into it, you know, but I've served in pretty much to some length of time, even if it was just for a little bit, in almost every area of the church. But for longer periods in certain areas. I mean, when I first showed up, the church, they put me on greeting, and then, You know, I helped out with the youth, and I cleaned the church. Shelley and I, when we were in Lincoln, I mean, we were on the rotation to clean the church once a month or something. We'd go on a Saturday and spend, and it was bigger than this place, you know, cleaning the whole thing, cleaning toilets and floors and everything. You know, and then I helped out with the music, started playing the keyboard, then started playing the piano, started picking some of the songs, started leading. Eventually, they asked me to preach. Notice they didn't ask me to preach the first day I walked in the church. You know, it's just one step at a time. I did toddlers when I was at Rhema. That wasn't, we did toddlers, some volunteer on a short basis, but children. That wasn't what I necessarily wanted to do, but that's what I felt like I was supposed to do. And I thank God that we did that. We got into a position. We didn't know it at the time. But they asked us to help out this elementary class, and we did. And then they were starting a new program on Wednesday nights called Faith Academy. They were rebooting some things, and they asked us to be part of the team that was going to do that. You know, you have 100, 150 kids in there, elementary age, on a night, and you would give part of the sermon or different sermons or do the offering, or we did some of the music. But it was just like running a mini church. And we did that. And we got lots of good experience doing that. But you don't know where things are going to lead. Just be faithful. Make sure you esteem what you are doing in the church. Don't think about other areas that are. Don't think that other areas are more important. Again, if God told you to do something, and we feel like that's what you're supposed to do, and you agree that that's the leading of the Lord, then that's all you need to know. Like we were saying this morning in the sermon, you just know what you're supposed to do, and just put on blinders with what everybody else is supposed to do. Don't worry about it. Don't compare. Don't think somebody's further than you or they're just not as important. That's all foolishness. That's the way the Lord. If the Lord asked you to do something, that's the most important thing. If Jesus said, you do, you can you sweep this floor? Hey, that makes it, that's very important, right? I heard, you know, you maybe heard this too. When they were in the process of putting a man on the moon, they were down, I don't know, it was Houston or whatever. Somebody came up and asked the guy that was cleaning the floor, well, what's your job? He said, I'm helping the United States go to the moon. See, he knew what he was doing. He knew that I'm part of something. This is necessary for the big thing to happen. Most people say, well, you're sweeping the floor. No, I'm helping the United States get a man on the moon. There's a big difference. What are you doing? Well, I'm just doing the toddlers. No, I am changing the next generation of individuals to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm just cleaning the bathrooms. No, I am helping us have a facility so that people can come and hear the word of God so their families and their jobs and their relationships and their health can be changed forever. If Jesus asked you to do it, it is important. And Jesus is going to come, just like the talents, he's going to come up and say, well done, good and faithful servant. I asked you to clean the bathrooms. They were sparkling. Good job. See, the world thinks way different than the way God thinks. Be on time. Treat your volunteer position like you would any job or anything else that's important to you because you are doing this as unto the Lord. Take it seriously. It's unto God. It's not unto man. Well, it doesn't matter. Next thing. Go ahead. Anytime.
This is an area that being on time, it is more important than you realize. Because if we don't have people showing up on time, that means that my attention is now trying to find something to fill in until you get there. And so, or things aren't, they just don't run as smoothly if people aren't coming on time. And I know we're all at different levels in our walk with time, you know, and getting places on time. But this is something that I just want to encourage you. Do your best. You know, we're not going to condemn you for being late. We're not going to throw, you know, heap coals of fire on your head or anything like that if you're late. But at the same time, just know that it doesn't help the machine to work smoothly. If there's, for instance, if there's not people to receive the children, especially the younger ones, it doesn't look good for if we have a visitor coming in, if there's not someone there to be able to take the babies. If people are not ushering in here when they're supposed to be, then there's that part where all of a sudden we're trying to make sure, okay, let's do this real quick, let's do this. There's just different things that happen that it makes it more chaotic. And then I'm getting ready to lead praise and worship, but right before that, I'm trying to put out all these different fires because people aren't here on time. And again, we're not, you know, I understand that we're all growing and learning and developing in that area, but this is one of the biggest areas that is a help to me, is if you're there when you're supposed to be there, it takes a huge load off of my plate.
Mm-hmm. Clean up. If your area is messy, when things are finished, take time to clean it up before you leave. Pick up water bottles, vacuum if necessary, until we have housekeeping set up. So one thing you just see over the years is that it's better to clean and to take care of things as you go. If you say, well, I'll do this later, you know this in your own homes or whatever, well, I'll do it later. When is later? Well, if you're in a hurry now, then later when you're in a hurry, you do the same thing, and pretty soon what? You got a mess. You think there's this fictional time that is just going to, time's going to stop and I'll read all those magazines someday and whatever. It just doesn't happen. So you got to keep up as you go. So if we leave our areas the same or better than when we came, we're done. Then we come in, nobody has to say, I got to clean it up. Be on call. So whether it's your week or not, love on the people you are ministering to. If you are a greeter and someone is new but it's not your week, talk with them. You know, it's not like you can't just because you're not, well, quote unquote, a greeter. That's just they are there in a position, but we can all be friendly. If you work with the youth, make it a point to talk with them on Sundays too. If you're working with children, say hi or even give a hug to them on off Sundays. Just have that mentality. And you know, if we do need you and something happens where something arose in somebody else's life through no fault of their own last minute and Shelley has to pull you in for something, it really helps if you're just, hey, I'm ready. I'm here. Can I step in and help? That is invaluable to us. So anything else you want to?
And then the last thing is I'm in the process of changing areas. We're going into the summer, and then we'll be going into the fall. So if you are looking to change areas, now is a great time to talk with me. I try to get around to everyone and ask, what are you thinking? But if I don't get to you and you are really thinking I want to switch an area, please feel free to come talk to me. And there may be, you know, if you ever feel like I'm giving resistance to you on this, I don't do it all the time. But if you ever come to me and say, I want to switch, and I'm like, are you sure? Most of the time, it's because I really think that it's an area that it isn't quite time to move on. But we're not dictators here. And so so I still would want you guys to have that to have that freedom. And if you just tell me, no, Shelley, I understand what you're saying, but I still want to step down, I will let you step down. But just know that if you ever feel that pushback, it's not me trying to control your life. It's just me trying to make sure that that's really what's right for you at that stage of everything.
I think that's really good what she said. We're not trying to control your life in any way. But on the other hand, we'll give an account for how we oversaw you to Jesus. And so we're not responsible to make your decisions or to run your life in any way. But if we see something and say, you know what, if we can see, you're saying, I'm going to get out of this. And we can see, from our perspective, it looks like you're hitting that pain point. Looks like you're trying to run. The best thing for you is to stay put and get to the other side so you can see God's faithfulness. If we see that, we're going to tell you that. Now, it's up to you whether you're going to receive. We're not going to lock you. We can't make you, right? We're not trying to say, no, you have to stay. That's not how we operate. On the other hand, you want to be very open to your pastors, because it's the pastoral anointing is seen probably the strongest. It is preaching and teaching, but it is also, a pastor means to shepherd and to feed. And some of the most important things that you'll ever receive from Shelly or myself will be on a one-on-one. And you'll say something and we'll say something back, and we may not even know your situation, but it's from God. And I've seen that over and over throughout my life, and my own pastors, when I would talk with them, there is an anointing to the Holy Spirit does to pinpoint the real issue. And it's not us. It's not the mentality. It's not counseling per se. It is supernatural. And so we're not to say we are always right, but do take it seriously. And I've always done that myself. I remember my pastor, I was going to go on this trip, and certain individuals, and they called me aside. I was going to do it that weekend. And they called me aside that Wednesday, and they said, "Jim, we're not trying to control it all, but we just don't feel good about you going on that." And for what it's worth, that we just wanted to tell you. And I acknowledged it, and I said, "Well, I trust you guys, and I could see that," and I canceled it. And they were right. I could see certain things. I was like, "Oh my gosh, well, I was being stupid," but they could see it. I couldn't. Just take that. That's all I wanted to say. Just know that I would take that into consideration and know our heart. Our heart is we want to see you guys run your race, and so that's why we would ever share something like that with you.
Yes, and one area that I would really like to thank is our teenagers and preteens that are back there on the back row. I think you guys go ahead and stand up. Let's just give them a... Yeah. Okay, you can be seated. There's Jada, too. We've got some more coming up in the fall. We've got three more fifth graders that are going to be moving up to sixth grade, and that they're going to be involved with helping out as well. And this group is growing, and it's a good group, and it's a godly group, and we're very thankful for you guys, and we do not take you for granted. And I had the privilege of working with them in Super Kids, and there are certain things that they just do, and I don't have to really think about it because they're there. They take the snacks right away, get going on that. That's a blessing. And there, you guys are learning what certain things look like. And one of these days, you're going to keep getting older, and you're going to be the ones that are kind of being in charge of some of these things. And you're learning firsthand at a very young age what that looks like. And I just want you to know, that's important to us, and we're very, very thankful. There's times where if we did not have our youth helping us, we would need more adults involved. And so they fill a huge void for us right now, too, and we're thankful for that. One thing I wanted to let you guys know, especially the youth, we are going to start... having you again, I was doing it more often than what I have been lately. You're doing the toddlers and Super Kids right now mainly, but I am going to start adding hospitality and greeting and housekeeping. Just because you guys have the toddlers and the Super Kids stuff down really well, but I'm going to start having you also volunteer in the other areas too, because those are important areas, and you guys are so capable already at this age to be able to do that. So check your calendars when I am sending them out and see which week you're scheduled for. I'm not as concerned if you miss your Sunday, but this is one of those things because, you're not the one that's in charge of getting you to church. So I'm not as concerned about you guys doing that. You're in training. But remember, too, though, that you are important, and what you are doing is important. And if you do miss, your presence is missed. You know, we do miss having you guys help. So, all right. There's because we don't have individual group meetings, we're going to just go over a little bit of housekeeping in each area. Just some things. Overall, I would say everything is running very smoothly. I just thank you guys so much because I don't have to constantly tell you guys what to do because you guys know what you do and you just do it. And you do it very well, and I'm so appreciative of that. This is just some little things that I'm just going over just as a review because we only do this right now twice a year. So, greeters, you can stay in the foyer until about 10:45, and then you're welcome to come in the service for praise and worship. Before you come into the service, if you notice that anyone has just left their bulletins or left a drink in that foyer area or something like that, go ahead, dump whatever. If it's a liquid, dump it out and then put it in the recycling and then come on in. That way, when we go back out after service, there's not just a bunch of stuff just laying around. So it just kind of keeps it clean. So this is kind of a new thing, but if you can pick up on your way into the praise and worship service, that helps us out a lot. While we're there too, I just want to thank Dwight and Martha and Barbara and Diana. They've been doing greeting. They're the ones that are currently doing greeting, and so thank you very, very much for that. And then hospitality. You can begin to close down 20 minutes after the service. We have a church that loves to fellowship, and that is good. We want that. We want to facilitate that. This is a place where you want to develop good friendships, and so that's very important to us, and we want to do that and give that opportunity. But it doesn't have to go into hours into the afternoon, which it hasn't, but I'm exaggerating there. So your time is important too, so feel free to go ahead and shut down after 20 minutes. Just begin. Yes, Diana. And I don't blame them. That's a great idea. So if you're wanting a coffee and you're in a different area volunteering, whatever it may be, but especially children's because sometimes it's harder, you can send a teen helper and just say, you know, on their way out, just say, hey, would you mind telling hospitality to get me this type of coffee with this kind of cream and whatever you want to do. Or write it down and have the teen helper give it to the hospitality area because you guys are serving. So we definitely want you guys to be able to have a cup of coffee, especially after working with children. Yes. Okay. Okay. Yep, we were actually going to get to that later on, so that's great. If we can, we would like for hospitality to be able to go home after 45 minutes, just because it just seems like, you know, depending on who's going to be volunteering, they're going to have family, they're going to need food, lunch, all that kind of stuff. So we don't want you to have to be here in an indefinite amount of time. You're important too, and so we don't want to take advantage of you on those kind of things. And then, toddlers, this is an area where, again, if you can be here 30 minutes before church starts, this is very important because of the age of the children. I cannot have children left in a room with just teenagers. I've done it in the past, but especially now that we've got a new baby coming and all, you know, we do not want really little ones and even, you know, multiple younger ones left with just our teenagers. And so a lot of times if you're running late, I'm having to find an adult to cover until you get there. And so if you can be here 30 minutes early, that just takes a big stress out of the morning. And in this area is, I would say overall, this area is running very smoothly. We have great, great volunteers that love the children, and it's just, you guys know me, I love the children's programs, and I believe in them very much, and toddlers is one of those where if they, all they know is going to church, what a blessing. What a blessing. And so in order for that to happen, we have to have toddler workers. And so thank you guys so much for giving of your time and loving on these children. And the parents, we have the new family, Ann and Paul with Benjamin. And, you know, they were not sure how Benjamin would do because of his age. And he loves it. He does not want to leave. And a lot of times they, you know, have to pull him away from it. But that gives them peace of mind. And it really helps parents if they do have to pull their children away, because then they know that their kids are enjoying it. And then a lot of times you'll even find parents, like Brandy used to tell us all the time, there'd be times where her kids were the ones pulling her to church. And that's the kind of atmosphere that we're really trying to develop and are doing a great job. So thank you guys for your time. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. And just for your heart for them, it's wonderful. And so there needs to be an adult in the room, especially now that the church is growing, and it's just going to keep growing right now. And so we need that. And so you've noticed that we have been requesting parents to pick up their children 15 minutes after the service. That is unless you are volunteering that day, because we understand that if you're in toddlers, it's going to be hard for you to get your kids in super kids. And if you're in super kids, it's hard for you to get your children in toddlers. And so what can happen at that point is after those 15 minutes or so when everyone should have their kids picked up, after that is done, then we can like switch kids that are for the volunteers. But I remember what that was like when we were volunteering. It was very difficult for us to ever pick our children up on time. And just because we were stuck doing whatever it was in the other area. And so sometimes people would walk our children to where we were because they knew what was going on and vice versa. So we work together on that. If you're in the toddlers and you know somebody's volunteering in Super Kids, feel free to walk the children over there or whatever needs to be done to make that work. So, and it's not one of these things where we want you to be, you know, we're not drill sergeants on it, okay? We still can go with the ebb and flow with it. We're not going to be, like, real hard on everything. But at the same time, we want to bring your attention to it because it is important for people to be able to go home. Most of the people volunteering have children, and they need to get home and be able to feed their children. And so make sure that you're touching every part of the lesson plan, even if it doesn't seem like the children are paying attention in toddlers. You know, just going through the motions every week. If we go through the motions, then the children are learning. That's part of it, is learning how to sit still, how to listen, how to obey, how to pay attention. And they are actually paying attention more than we realize. And parents will tell us that. Make sure you, in Super Kids and in toddlers, make sure you send the take-home sheets home. This allows the parents to be able to go over the information with the kids. And if you haven't touched that area in the lesson, then this allows them to for sure get it over to the children. And we do the lesson 2 weeks in a row for the toddlers. So just that repetition is very good for them. It also lets the parents realize that we're doing more than just babysitting. I do not look at toddlers as babysitting. I feel like it's very important. We are sharing the Word of God with them, and we are getting through things. Sometimes they can't do all the crafts. I completely get that. Sometimes your teen helpers are doing the craft and sending it home with them. I get that. That's okay. But just going through it. And if they see the routine every week, they're going to get it. And then they're going to be ready for Super Kids when they get into Super Kids. All right. So Super Kids, again, you know that we're saying 15 minutes. Had the pickup for the children, then this should give you about 15 minutes to clean up. And Diana made a very good point in which I was going to mention too. If we can empty the trash and the recycling, at least bring the bags or something out here, then they can tidy everything up, and then every week it's a clean, fresh start. Especially toddlers, sometimes you can have dirty diapers. You do not want that sitting there for a week because it's just gross. And so make sure, you know, clean out your trash. We've had some people that have been doing it for the different areas sometimes when they're not done, and I appreciate that. But I think, you know, if everyone's cleaning up as we go, it makes it a lot easier for everyone. So I just want to say, my commanders in Super Kid Academy, I'm so grateful. You guys have been doing phenomenal. You keep their attention. They get the message. They're getting the understanding. And I appreciate it so much. And thank you. And it's obvious the heart that you guys have for the children, and the ability that you guys have. So thank you so much. It's one thing. It also makes everything go faster by having a team. Then you can take over while I'm getting ready for the next thing, and then you're getting ready for the next. And that helps. So thank you very much on that. All right. I'm missing my next page. Ushers, it's good to see the program growing. And we're getting ready to add Clay Deer. Thank you very much. We're excited to have him come on board. Make sure that the offering buckets get put back in the closet. We don't just want them hanging around. We want the offering buckets going back in the closet. Also, clean up your area after church. Just make sure extra bulletins or water bottles or anything like that, dump the water bottles and then put them in the recycling. Anything like that, we are going to have to just keep picking that up. Otherwise, Jim and I are thinking that we're done, and then we're like, oh, there's that water bottle. Oh, there's this or that. And then we have to come back in, and we're doing different things. So it just helps if everyone just picks up. Great job being at the back during praise and worship and helping the people in. Very good on that. It helps a lot. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but especially today, it was a little harder for people to find seats. And so being able to be available to help people find them, that's great. Appreciate that. Going forward, when we're upstairs, nothing but water is allowed in the sanctuary. And that's going to be the ushers helping out with that big time. The hospitality will be saying stuff. But ushers, if you see somebody coming in with a coffee cup, just politely say, "Oh, would you mind finishing that up out there, and then come in," or you know, come up with a nice way of telling them, "Don't you dare bring it in here." And a big reason is because we're spending a lot of money getting some new chairs, and we want them to look nice, and we want this. We want, you know, Jim found a chair just the other day, and it's so gross. And we're like, we don't want our chairs to look like that. And so we don't want coffee. We don't want soda. We don't want anything like that brought in. We have a fellowship area, and, you know, we want to keep that looking nice too. But the sanctuary, just out of respect for everyone, let's keep it looking nice. And so ushers are going to be, that's going to be a big thing for you guys, because it's changing the way that people look. And you may have some people come with an attitude. I have always had coffee in church, and say, I understand. Thank you very much for understanding, though, that we want to keep this looking nice. Whatever you have to do, I trust that God will help you and grace you for that. And then we have library. Dawn and Everett have been awesome. Just we were trying to grow it some and having new people, and we've had different people fall off, which is another thing that I'm just telling you, we are slow for a reason. We do things, getting people involved slowly for a reason, because a lot of times people will come in and from the get-go, they're just like, rah, 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 I'm with you guys, and 2 months later, they're gone. And so we see that, and so you may think, gosh, you guys are so slow, but it's for a reason. It's just to kind of keep a continuity, because if you're constantly having knee jerks from people dropping off or just different things, so... With that being said, we are adding people to the library. This is something that we're growing. Linda's going to start helping us out, so thank you very much, Linda. And it's growing, but it's nice. And once we get into the new facility, you're going to start seeing more books being added. We've kind of just pulled back for a little bit because just all the other transition. Housekeeping is an area that we're starting up in the near future, and... Barbara is very gifted in this area, and she's going to be working with me, and we're going to be putting this together and getting, so this will be an area where I might start asking people, hey, would you help out just for now until we have more and more volunteers to be able to fill in. Anytime that we add a new area, we always end up having to have people do double duty for a while, it seems like. And then we grow, and then we have other people coming in to fill in the gaps. But in the beginning, it always seems like we kind of have double duty going on there. So we may be doing that with you guys. So that's all with that. We are going to go over the Gary and Connie Crowell volunteer meeting. I'm trying to think... if you know for sure that you're not volunteering for that, don't feel like you have to stay for the rest of the meeting. If you're not necessarily volunteering for it, but you know that this is your church and this is something that you would be doing in the near future, maybe the next meeting, this would give you a good overview of what to expect of how we do things. So feel free to stay as well, but you don't have to stay. I'm going to have Jim hand out, I'm going to have Jim hand out some notes for it, and there's 2 pages, so you're going to, we haven't found my stapler, I don't know where my stapler is, so these are not stapled. All right, so I have George, Dwight, Janet, and possibly Becky, because Becky's leaving later that day on a 2-week trip. I have Diana, Maria, Martha, and let me see who else. Rebecca. Those are the people that right now I have as volunteering for the luncheon, which is during the day, which is at noon. And I'm going to just go over that real quick. Anyone that can stay for the meeting, for the luncheon, right afterwards, we'll be cleaning the church, cleaning up afterwards too. I don't have specific people to clean up, but if you all can plan on cleaning up that are on that list, those 7 or 8 people, that would be great. So for the luncheon, we're just planning on you arriving at 10. Last year it was 10:30, but this year the luncheon is going to start at noon instead of at 12:45. So if you can get here at 10, okay. I did not make copies for the youth. I'm sorry, because I didn't have you guys. I'm in... I'm planning on my youth to be able to hear the stories of what's going on in China and different places. So I do not have you volunteering that night. Okay. So the luncheon volunteers arrive at 10. This is something that we're ministering to ministers. And so make sure that you don't draw attention to yourself. And what that means is the purpose is to to help them feel refreshed. It's not something to get their counsel on different things. And ministers are the type that they have such big hearts that they would be willing to talk with you for a long time and encourage you. But what we're trying to do, that's not the purpose of the luncheon. The luncheon is for us to minister to them. And so just keep that in mind. Last year it was awesome. So you want to keep your conversations short when you're volunteering. You're going to be sitting at a table together during the meeting when you're not volunteering in your area. And then we need to have everything ready to go by 11:30. And at the latest, the luncheon would be over at 2:30. But I think it'll even potentially be earlier than that because we're starting it earlier, and we were done by 2:30 or 3 with Bobby Andian, and that was 45 minutes. So, but for your time, I'm just telling you, worst cases, 2:30, 3 o'clock, because I know, you know, that we have the evening service, and I want you to be able to plan. There may be some ministers that will linger longer than that if they're planning on staying for the meeting, but we're going to have things for them to know where they can go if they want to go out to eat, so we'll have things ready for it. We don't want you to have to stay here over the time that you need to stay. Also, I have George and Dwight helping out with the parking lot signs and entrance, the gate. One will stand at by the gate with an RMAI sign. I'll have all of this stuff for you. At the RMAI sign, letting the ministers know that they're at the right place. And then one will stand in front of this old brick building that has like a for sale sign above it. And that sign will have an arrow pointing to the other side of that building. And the reason that is because there's going to be other people potentially here using the parking lot because we have other businesses that are in this building. And so if this parking lot is all full, we want to show them where the extra parking is. Because during the weekdays, it can get really, really full. So that's why we're needing the parking lot that day for people to help out. And then I'm thinking 11:30 to 12:30. If they're much later than that, they'll just have to figure it out. But as people are leaving, if you don't mind going back downstairs, just to help people remember the general area where you had them park. In other words, especially because it could be potentially on the other side of that building, you can help them get their bearings straight when they leave. And then also they may not know, am I supposed to turn right or turn left when I get out of the parking lot? Now, people tend to have cell phones and GPS, but just in case, you're there to kind of help them with that. You're also going to be the one that is helping with the offering, Dwight and George, and we'll have two offering buckets for you just to collect an offering for the crowds. The ministers a lot of times want to be able to give to them, and Pastor Dave Rogers will be taking up that offering. So when you see him getting up, that's your cue. That's something that you may be doing the offering. Janet and Becky, I have you at the entrance table. The question mark for Becky is because if you can't make it, we totally get it, all right? She's going to be leaving for 2 weeks for Colorado, and so I have full understanding of that. And I said, yes, you can come, but don't feel like you have to. And we're going to have a small card table in the foyer. So right in that door when you first come in, there's going to be a card table there. And that's where you'll sit and you'll direct people where to go. So you'll have food options, what they can get, the different types of sandwiches that we have. I'm going to have a list of that for you so you can hand that so that they can know when they go to the food table what their choices are. And so we'll have the food options on that. We're going to have name tags, paper, and pens at your table for the ministers when they come in. There's also a list of restaurants for the ministers if they want to stay for the evening service, and then they know where they can go eat. And then I'm thinking you'll be at the table from like 11:30 to 12:15, but you'll be at the back table in the fellowship hall so that if you do see anyone else come in, you can kind of help them and direct them where to go. During the meeting, you may want to also look to see if anyone needs a pen and paper. If they didn't, go ahead and pick one up, and you see someone kind of looking for something, feel free to go up and hand it to them. Diana, Maria, and Martha, we're doing things different this year than we did last year. Last year we had names on the boxes, so every minister specifically ordered what they were getting. This year we're not doing that. And so if you want to go and just be, I'm going to have two people at the food and one with the drinks. And you can just kind of help them. They're going to have a list in front of them of what their options are. And you can kind of help them if they say, I want this, help them find where that is and give that to them. Or let them know, oh, that's out right now, but we still have this and this. And kind of just kind of help that flow. We also, so it is kind of a first come, first serve. Whoever gets there, if we run out of turkey sandwiches, they're going to have to be okay with roast beef or whatever else we have. As people finish their food, I'll have you guys go and just help them remove the trash, anything from the tables, and throw that away. It is appropriate to ask them if they need a refill or another bottle. Feel free to be able to do that, unless somebody has already started speaking, and then you might not be able to do that quite as easy. You'll stay at the food table till about 12:15. It may even be a little bit later than that. For the ministers, feel free to sit down earlier, though, if all the boxes are already gone. Then go ahead and sit down. Feel free also to place the food on the table for the volunteers ahead of time, because then that's one less thing that we have to organize later on, because some of them will work until 12:30 in different areas. So you can have them go ahead and come through. Get what kind of food you want, put it on the table, and then you know what's going on or what your food is. All right, Rebecca and Becky, last year we did an icebreaker after the luncheon and before Bobby Andean spoke. That we'll do something similar to that before the crowd speak. And so I'm going to have you hand out the sheets for that to everyone, and any pins if they need a pin or something like that. Set up and tear down. We're going to be putting up tables at 10 o'clock and putting linens on the table and centerpieces on the tables. We're going to have 8 chairs going around each table, and there will be a reserve sign for 2 of the tables, one for the volunteer table and one for where the crowds are going to be sitting. And so when everyone arrives, we'll set up the table in the fellowship hall. And then once the majority of this is completed, then you can begin to set up the area that you're working in. So like if you're working in the foyer or the food or something like that, you can begin that. The food tables are going to be in the foyer instead of in the fellowship hall. What I mean by that is the serving tables are going to be in the fellowship hall, in the foyer. So there's going to be a greeting table and then food along the walls. That way it doesn't crowd up the fellowship hall. And they just come in, get their food, and then go and sit in their tables. And that's kind of how I'm thinking it'll make it easy. So the person sitting, and so Janet and Becky, when you're sitting here, you can say, over here, you can begin to pick out what food you want. And then they just go and then go around the back and then go in. It'll make more sense when we're up there, but just giving you an overview. All right, after the luncheon, everyone needs to get things ready for the evening meeting. And so that means throw away any remaining trash, take down tables, and then fold the linens, because we're renting the tables and the linens. And this will be a great opportunity for us to see what we really can use in the future for when we buy the tables for our fellowship area. But right now, rather than having another big sum to buy those tables, we're going to just see what we actually need by renting them out, and then we can see what it looks like. All right, for the evening service, and this pretty much does everyone else, arrive no later than 6:15. Service starts at 7 o'clock. And then if you're going to be sitting in the service at that time, put something down on your seat so that you have your seat taken care of. Then while you're volunteering, you can come back and you know where you're sitting, rather than, because you'll be coming in later, you're trying to shuffle around and figure out where you're going to seat. Have that already reserved. At this point, I have George, and I spoke with Clay Deer. He said he will help as well. And they're going to help with the parking lot. And I put things on there. There's going to be an A-frame sign out by the front gate. One is going to stand at the front gate entrance to ask, so people can ask questions there. And then one's, again, going to be in the parking lot and just kind of help people find, get parked correctly, and then to know where the entrances are for the church and how to get in. We are going to have Barbara. Well, let me skip to, okay. So you're going to see I don't have a B there. Some of these things I cut and paste from last year's meeting. So something So that's how come we don't have a B anymore. All right, but I'm going to go to D. D is Dwight and Martha. You're going to be in the downstairs foyer, which is just first floor, just right above us. You're there just to let people know, especially visitors, to know where the elevator and the stairs are, and that, yes, they are in the right building, and they just need to go upstairs. I'm putting you two together because I don't want... I don't want just a lady down by herself. I would like the man there to be able to protect her too, and just because you're just down there. So, anyways, you guys are cute. So, I think you'll be perfect. All right, and then upstairs, I'm gonna have Barbara and Janet greeting. You'll be, one of you will be kind of in the foyer area, and one of you will be more towards the doors where the sanctuary are. And that may be subject to change. I may end up having to pull in one other person. We'll kind of see how this goes once we get up there and kind of know how the flow of traffic goes. But for now, I'm thinking two people. You'll be handing out bulletins, answering questions, helping them know where to take their children or what's going on with their children, and then helping them to get to the sanctuary, and then the ushers will help from there once they get to the sanctuary. You can greet till 7:20 and then come on in. Don't feel like you have to stay out there indefinitely. Let's skip to E, Diana and Matilda. And Matilda, if it doesn't work out that you make it, that's fine. I already had your name down there just in case. So have the table ready to go by 6:30. We only want water to be taken into the sanctuary. The coffee has to be finished beforehand. And remind people they can get coffee before service, but dump it if they don't get it finished. And we have a sink there now, so they can even dump it in the sink. So that'll be fine. Once the service actually begins at 7 o'clock, you guys just go right on in. You don't have to stay out there. We don't really want to facilitate people fellowshipping while the service is going on. We want them to come in. So if you leave, it makes it a little bit harder. And then there are going to actually be doors to that fellowship. There's glass doors. Just shut those doors and go inside. If they didn't get their coffee, they can wait till after the service and get some coffee then. Yeah, yeah. And hopefully the closed doors will also kind of help that too. All right. After the service, though, just be available to restock if needed. All right, and then I'm going to have Noel, Jean-Louis, and Len helping out with ushering. The reason I'm doing three is because we're going to have three sections. So I will have one of you sitting at the front and two of you sitting on the back wings. And those are going to be close to the doors, the back wings are. So you'll be near an aisle, the aisles, and then you can help people come in. It'll make more sense because we'll have a couple Sundays, is my understanding, in the sanctuary before we had the crowds in. So we'll kind of have a little bit of a routine for that. You're going to have a badge saying usher, and you're going to have a sign saying reserved for you and your family. All right. Again, just politely let people know to finish their coffee in the fellowship area before they enter in. I have Crayosa, and I talked with Ange. They're going to be helping out with toddlers. Just be prepared to start around 6:30. At that point, I will have things planned out for you, and I will give you that ahead of time so you know what to expect and so that you're not just twiddling your thumbs with these kids running all over the place. We'll have direction for you. And then normally we say 15 minutes, but because it's a special meeting, if you wouldn't mind waiting 30 minutes after the service, just because we'll have visitors that aren't necessarily used to the routine of how we pick up after 15 minutes. Super Kids, Betsy, potentially Ed are going to be helping out with that. Again, just be prepared around 6:30 for people to start dropping off. And stay 30 minutes afterwards in case, so that people can leave. If they're gone before then, by all means, that's good. I mean, you don't have to stay 30 minutes. And then just cleaning up those rooms and then going on. I'm still working, and I'm thinking we're going to have a movie and some games, and I'll get that for you as we get closer. All right, and Dawn and Ever aren't here. But they'll probably be helping out that night with the library. If something changes, I'll let you guys know. But this is pretty much the gist of what we're planning for everything. If you have questions, feel free to contact me with questions. And just know that, like I said, I may be getting a hold of you later to tell you what's going on with the different, if anything changes. Yes. Okay, no, there isn't a book table. I thought that they were going to have potentially some books in Chinese that we could take, but I just got an email from them saying that we won't have a product table. So.
Okay, well, it's 2 o'clock. Got everything in, so you guys probably know this, but Shelley does so much just to put together all the volunteers, and she coordinates everything. I mean, I give her general direction on certain things, and then she just runs with it. So she does an awesome job. She is my right arm. So, do awesome. So thank you guys so much for your time. I know it was beneficial, and getting us on the same page for the meetings and just in general, and we're just so appreciative of you guys and your hearts, and good things to come this year. Gosh, it's already May. It's not just starting, but we're getting into that building and stuff. That's going to be neat, and these meetings are going to be great. So thank you, guys.